God's words are amazing gifts. In perfection, they revive our weary spirits. In truth, they delight us. Their clarity enlightens us and leads us to wisdom. Let us hear these words with hope and anticipation. Amen. I invite you now to follow along as I read from the Gospel according to John. If you want to follow, you can use the Pew Bible on page 1309, but I will be reading from chapter 12, starting with verse 20. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they then remembered that these things had been written of him. And yes, I jumped ahead. You are not in the wrong place. Let me continue reading. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed the sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now our reading for today. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was like thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." And Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this Sunday, as we continue our season through the wilderness, journeying so that we may be reminded and remembered and reimagined as your gathered people, we must journey with Jesus. In our reading today, we catch a glimpse of what is coming and what Jesus has to say to us. And so open our hearts and our minds and our ears this day that we may hear what you would have us hear. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Revised Common Lectionary goes on three-year cycles, right? And each year focuses on a particular gospel. And we are in the year where we focus a lot on Mark, and yet our past couple of texts have been based on the gospel according to John. Now, Mark's gospel is a very fast-paced, very intense, not a whole lot of detail narrative telling the story of Jesus' ministry with a very distinct purpose and goal. Gospel of John, as I've mentioned before, has a much different perspective. It's more about seeing and believing and developing in your faith these things, these signs, these wonders, these miracles that Jesus is teaching. And so it gives us a whole lot more of a richness of the narrative, the story. And so we know what's happening next week. It is Palm Sunday. And we talk about this triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, where all had gathered to celebrate the Passover festival, right? And so we hear this, and chapter 12 is kind of right smack in the middle of the Gospel of John. So there's a lot yet to come, and yet Jesus is giving us a glimpse of what is going to happen, right? So we know that the crowd had gathered for Passover, and there are these two Greeks who ask this question, right? What's going to happen here? And they ask it of Philip, and then Philip asks it of Andrew, and then Andrew asks it of Jesus, that, hey, they're looking for you. And what does Jesus say? My life is coming to an end, which is not the response they expect, right? And we don't hear of these Greeks again at all. And Jesus is talking about things. And there is the Passover festival crowd gathered around. And as Jesus is foretelling of what is coming, you know, he's praying to God the Father, glorify your name. And then there's this rumbling voice from the sky, which harkens back to when Jesus comes out of the water at his own baptism to say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And those that are around are not able to fully discern or understand the sound that they are hearing, right? It seems a little bit like toddlers who are very intent in conveying a message to you. And if you are not one who spends all your time with that person, you have usually no idea what they're saying. You need their parent to translate for you, right? Oh, well, they're asking for juice. Like, it's obvious. And I'm like, okay. Or maybe we're studying for something, or we go into a place and someone is speaking a different language. And you know that it's not your native language, but it's very hard for you to kind of hold on and discern what it is that they're saying. Is it Portuguese? Is it Spanish? Is it Italian? You know, and or is it, you know, one of the Germanic languages, right? And you can kind of discern, but to really kind of get into the dialect is a little bit different. You have to have someone who kind of translates it for you, right? And so as Jesus is telling this, he's translating something for us. That he's telling us about this life that he is preparing for us that's going to look very specific. It is a life meant for service, right? It's not just about following Jesus or proclaiming Jesus as Lord. It's about letting that guide and lead every aspect of your life to bear witness to the world. So when I think about these two Greeks, right, like they talk to Philip, then we don't see them again. But there is something about that seeking Jesus that we do, that this community does, that the world is doing, and there is a language that we can speak that can reveal Jesus in the world, and that is of service. And sometimes we hear those words, you must give up your life in order to have your life, right? And sometimes it's really hard for us because we're like, what does that even mean? To give up our lives, like physically, you know, I'm going to forsake my body and give it up for someone else. And it's more about the intentionality of how you order and organize your day, right? How do we engage with our coworkers? How do we engage with the service industry when we go to a restaurant or when we're at the grocery store or, you know, if we see someone who may be struggling a little bit, do we walk by Or do we actually pay attention and see that person for who they are? So I had an opportunity to do two fun things this week. How many of you remember that last Thanksgiving, and that was only about 4 months ago, Holly Springs UMC was able to support feeding an incredible group of individuals in our community, right? That we, you know, fed about 5,000 by providing turkeys and meal boxes. And because of your generosity, that then extended to feeding our public servants who were serving and working on Thanksgiving Day with a catered meal. It also led to a call to unity in the community to say, hey, we have these families that are in desperate need at Christmas time. And that was able to be extended to them at Christmas. And I got to sit down with Reverend William Ball, who is the co-founder of Unity in the Community, and we're already dreaming and thinking about what is going to be possible for us to continue this work. And it all came out of a recognition that Wake County has 4,200 homeless high school students. Did y'all know that? Wake County, let me say that again, has 4,200 identified homeless high school students. When William heard this, he said, we gotta do something. Because it's an unspoken population that is considered transient. A lot of them are sleeping on people's couches. Or maybe they're in hotels because their families don't have regular housing or accommodations. And that is what birthed Unity in the Community, to provide immunizations and backpacks with school supplies and resources, and already thinking about how do we serve this community. But they weren't the only group that William saw as needing love expressed to them. He also knew that there were seniors in our community. And by seniors, I mean our elderly population, not our high school seniors. But those who had to make difficult choices between prescription medications or food. And so Unity in the Community was intended to meet some of that need. And so as I'm thinking about today, what Jesus is calling us to is to give up our life in order to gain it. It's about seeing those in our community, about serving them in the ways that they need, right? And it's right in our backyards, you guys. It's right here. And sometimes we may walk the other way or not pay attention or even have an awareness. How many of you were shocked at the statistics about the homeless high school students? Yeah. So when we're shocked by that, what Jesus is calling us to is to action, right? Like we could take that information and say, wow, that's insane, or how could this be, and do nothing. Or we can say, wow, this is insane. What can I do? Right? And it can be as simple as supporting our backpack ministries so that we can make sure that we're feeding at least our elementary kids. It means dreaming with William about how do we have this one-time event that's not just a day, but actually making a lifelong impact for those students, to dream about how might we partner with local businesses to maybe do internships, to equip them, mentorships with adults who care and want to know who these kids are. Not only them, but also their families. How do we support these families in these difficult circumstances? This is what Jesus is talking about. You must give up your life to have life, a life built on serving one another. And I want to express my appreciation and gratitude for the ways that you have shown up, not only for each other, but for this community. Rise Against Hunger. We're coming up on Methodist Home for Children. We're coming up on Backpack Ministries and looking into the future. Appalachian Service Project, ASP, going there. But then also thinking about how might we bring that home, right? Like, John's not here, but he already has hopes of maybe having a work crew that can go and do basic home repairs for those who may not have the resources. That is this dreaming and realization and moving into this life of service that Jesus is calling us. And it can be just a small facet of who you are. But it's a vital part of who you are that makes us who we are, embodying this eternal life of service that Jesus has called us to. Make sense? So don't think that you have nothing to offer. Let me say that again. Don't think that you don't have something to offer. It can be a note to someone in need. It can be a phone call. Hey, how are you doing? It can be actually putting your hands in the dirt or picking up a tool or packing a bag. Thank you to the faithful Backpack Ministry people who shop and pack and deliver those meals every week. But the need may increase. And how will we respond? We will respond faithfully because God first loved us. The depth of love to give us Jesus, to show us what a life, eternal life, will look like as we serve one another. May we love God, may we love one another, and may we love ourselves as we continue to journey to the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.